From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Rescue crews are reaching more remote communities in Indonesia that were covered by mudslides triggered by a powerful earthquake this week. The quake is being blamed for more than 700 deaths so far, but that number is expected to rise. Ann Dornfeld reports from Padang.
Rescuers got word Saturday that a text message had arrived from a victim trapped in a Padang hotel saying there are survivors under the flattened building. More than a dozen international search and rescue teams are trying to reach victims throughout West Sumatra, but there's little fuel for vehicles and heavy machinery to pull people from the wreckage. The magnitude 7.6 quake leveled hundreds of buildings in the provincial capital of Padang. Power is still out here, and there's little running water. At the city's main hospital, reports are that doctors don't have water to wash their instruments, and patients rely on donations of bottled water. Aid efforts are expanding into coastal villages where as many as 80% of all homes were destroyed. Aid groups are distributing emergency kits, including tarps and sarongs, but so many roads are blocked by landslides that access is limited. For NPR News, I'm Ann Dornfeld in Padang, Indonesia.
The International Red Cross Federation is mounting a huge humanitarian relief operation to help victims of the recent earthquakes and typhoons in the Asia-Pacific region. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The Red Cross says swift action by local volunteers has saved hundreds of lives. Red Cross official Christine South says the destruction caused by the earthquake in West Sumatra and Indonesia is immense.
There was talk of complete devastation of some villages, 100% devastation, 50% in others. Obviously, huge damage to infrastructure cut off by landslides.
The Red Cross and other international agencies are rushing in relief supplies, including shelter material, food, water, and medicines. Besides this, South says the Red Cross is providing psychosocial counseling to help many severely traumatized people deal with the disaster. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
Finance ministers from the U.S. and the rest of the group of seven wealthiest nations say the global economy is growing again, but the recovery remains fragile, threatened in part by rising unemployment. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner says it's too soon to back off of the stimulus measures that have been enacted in the U.S. President Obama says health care overhaul legislation being considered in Congress would help boost employment in the U.S. by making small business startups more feasible.
Rising health care costs are undermining our businesses, exploding our deficits, and costing our nation more jobs with each passing month. So we know that reforming our health insurance system will be a critical step in rebuilding our economy so that our entrepreneurs can pursue the American dream again.
Administration officials say the White House is looking at steps to provide more help for jobless Americans, including a further extension of unemployment benefits. This is NPR. The head of the UN's nuclear watchdog agency, Mohammed El-Baradei, arrived in Iran today to arrange for an inspection of that country's newly revealed uranium enrichment facility. President Obama and the leaders of Britain and France have accused Iran of keeping construction of that facility secret for years. But Iran's president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, today said Mr. Obama had made, in his words, a big and historic mistake by making that accusation, which Ahmadinejad says was baseless. Voters in Ireland have reversed course and overwhelmingly approved the European Union's reform treaty. NPR's Rob Gifford has the story.
You could almost hear the sighs of relief in Brussels as it was announced that Ireland had voted in favour of the Lisbon Treaty, a huge legal document described by some as an EU constitution designed to strengthen and modernise the European Union. The Irish were the last of the EU's 27 nations to ratify the treaty and had stunned Brussels last year by rejecting it, amid fears that the treaty would force neutral Ireland to raise its business taxes, join a European army and legalise abortion. Having received assurances on all these issues, the second vote also came as a relief to the embattled government of Prime Minister Brian Cowan. Observers attributed the turnaround to the unravelling of Ireland's long-booming economy. Analysts say voters seem to see the EU as a source of economic stability and support in difficult times. Rob Gifford, NPR News.
President Obama's top energy adviser, Carol Browner, says it is unlikely that Congress will pass legislation on climate change this year. Her comments came just days after Senate Democrats introduced a major climate change measure. That bill aims to cut greenhouse gas emissions by 20% by the year 2020. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.